This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Roger Mann,
Stuart Burks,
Anne Behrens,
Finlay Mason. Now, today we have with us
Anne Behrens. You were talking, you spent quite a bit of time in education doing various types of teaching,
well,
didn't you?
I began as a primary teacher and trained here in Palmerston North. Mm-hmm. Then I went home to Napier, and that's where I come from.
Okay. Can I ask then, when were you doing the training, and what was teacher training like in those days?
Gosh, when was I doing the training? About 1957-58.
Okay.
Yes, and training here, the college was in its third year when I arrived.
That's the teacher trainer college? Specialist, yes. For teacher training?
Yes, it was the whoever was involved, the government or whatever, wished to establish a place here, and we were actually I think the second or third group to come through, and the old tech buildings in town were used for our lectures.
Oh, is that in Princess Street?
Yes, yeah? Yes.
Because a little earlier, the tech had moved down to the premises in Rangitiki Street, hadn't they, and became Queen Elizabeth Technical College.
Yes, I didn't know that. I don't come from here.
How long was the training?
2 years, and then we did a PA year at the school that we were sent to.
PA is
probationary assistant, I think that was.
Okay.
We were just called PAs.
Okay.
Never.
Yeah.
Sandra would have been
the
one
same
too.
Same as country service? Or
no, country service was quite. I never did country service because I only taught primary school for about 2 years at the most. Mm-hmm. And in the second year, quite a bit of that was relieving because I was finishing the degree that I'd started at Teachers College. Mm-hmm. And at that stage, I was in Wellington. And so I was only here for 2 years, and then
did,
I went.
Did that involve much placement in schools as well? Or
yes,
it was all
it did.
Class like
that? I think we had 3 placements a year from memory.
And would you specialise in primary teaching, or
it was primary teaching?
Okay,
I taught primary teaching. Primary schools for only 18 months, however, because I decided I'd like to finish the degree that had been foisted on us here at college, and I thought it might be.
What does that mean?
We didn't have a choice. All of those who had university entrance were separated out, and we had individual interviews with the college principal, who told me I would be doing. He said, "Now, what subjects did you do for university entrance?" I told him. He said, "Well, you will do stage 1 English." I just nodded. And the lecturer was brought up from Wellington. And I must say, I enjoyed those lectures very much. There was a bit of a little gang of us. We were all in the same situation. We were all where we didn't think we were ever going to be doing this degree that we didn't think we were going to be doing.
And it was a degree through, was it Victoria University?
Through Victoria.
Because Massey wasn't
extended at that stage. Mm. And we were to be the proof, I understand. I don't know how the boy from Marist School got on. He passed, we all passed, and then the next year we were interviewed once more and told what we were going to be doing. That year we were going to do stage 1 history and stage 1 education. And then we went home to our probationary year and did that. And at the end of that year I decided that part of a degree wasn't much use. I'd better finish it. So I had saved my money and I went down to Wellington.
Okay. Can we just stay with the teachers' college for a while?
It was pretty brief.
What was the student body like? Were there many trainee teachers there?
I couldn't tell you because it was so new, and most of the people came from the central region.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you came in from Napier, so was accommodation available to you?
No, that's wrong. There was no boarding accommodation, so they found us families to board with. Now, I was boarded with another girl. Fortunately, we got on well together with a family. The children were lovely, but it really wasn't an ideal. A small bedroom, and we would babysit. We were very happy to do that. We weren't silly about those things. The mother got ill, and at that point, along with a couple of others from another house, which was similar, we decided we'd look for a flat. So we went flatting at the end of Palmerston North, up a little hill next to the State Housing Road. It's a well-known Palmerston North people. They had a spare house which they decided to rent out, and we got it. We had to have permission from our parents, written permission. The college was quite strict.
Mm. How old were you at the time, man?
17.
17?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't mind them being strict. I mean, we didn't have a clue, really.
fair enough.
We were just a nice little foursome.
A lot of wild young youths around Palmerston at that time.
Oh, terrible.
was it mainly female students doing the teacher training?
Yes, it was. I might be wrong here, but there seemed to be a percentage that would get chosen. And I really don't know beyond that. And then there was the dilemma of, did you want to teach infants or did you want to teach older kids? And I chose the Standard 2 Plus. I mean, really, when
infants
I look
Infants are just
back,
babysitting, aren't you, to a degree?
We really didn't know or fully understand. But it was probably quite a good idea just to be thrown.
And was there no hostel in Fitzherbert Avenue at that stage?
No.
That's
nothing.
Demolished now, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know. I've not really looked.
Opposite the Coachman Hotel there, the big building there. The teachers' college students were boarded in there.
We were not.
Hostel.
We were all privately boarded.
Oh, right.
And how were you funded? Did you get grants from
pay.
The government?
We were paid.
Did you have to pay fees?
No.
The university fees we had to. No, hang on, I might be wrong there. It may be that this was a cunning ploy to get us to do it. That's right. They said to us, you don't have to worry about paying. Later on, when I got down to university, I discovered that my university entrance was almost gone. Where had it gone? It had been used to pay those first 2 years.
When you say your university entrance, you mean the government gave you a certain amount of money? And they'd used
from UWE, you got 3 years something or other. It wasn't full
fees. And you'd used two of that in the teacher training?
We were told that we wouldn't have to pay. We all fell for it.
So you did the 2 years teacher training.
Yes.
To finish your degree, you had to do how many more years?
It took me ages, to be honest, because I come from a family where there was no money. I was on my own. My mother scraped and saved. My father had died at this stage. Yeah, it was not easy, but we were a family that was used to scraping and saving, so we probably had the skill to do that. And I think I got home, I did my PA year, got my teaching certificate, and decided that I would be stupid not to finish the degree. So I'd saved some money and I went down to Wellington and finished my degree, it was a lot of, I worked a lot of the time, I did relief teaching, and I enjoyed it actually, I like Wellington. Mm-hmm. And I got married at the end of whatever year it was. A law student who hadn't been taking his law degree very seriously as he was going. So he was still at his beginnings, but I was finished and I could earn money.
Oh, you were the brainy one.
And your degree then gave you access to post-primary teaching, didn't it?
Well, you make it sound as if it wasn't possible, but all you did was bring the school and say, listen, I'm a teacher and I've got a degree, I've got a primary teaching certificate. Have you got any, do you want any relievers? And I was just amazed at how I could get a job, and it was that converted me to secondary teaching.
So there's a big shortage of teachers at
that There was.
Mm. Now, we haven't said anything about student life. Was student it very life. Active? Were there clubs, committees, dances, sport?
Not. There was sport because it was a compulsory part of the curriculum. There was two phys ed classes a week, and they were taken, the teachers were models really, were taking phys ed, and we could join a sports team if we wished. I played tennacoids.
You played
tennacoids.
Tennacoids. Tennis with coits.
Yes. Okay. And a net across. I was so keen. My parents bought me a net and a coit for Christmas that year.
And that came in useful later. Is it something that was played in schools?
Depended on the school very much. Okay. Yep. Yes, very much. We just played it at home. And it was we were a family of four, and we had great fun. Okay.
Did you think the training equipped you well for teaching?
Yes, I forgive them for taking my money the way they did. But no, I think we were very well trained, and I remained like that. I can, you know, I took preparation very seriously. I asked myself, why was I teaching this, and what did I want kids to achieve? I was very careful, not because I was worried about it, but because I could see that it was the way to be.
You were, in your training, there was a lot on sort of teaching method and practice and
stuff.
Okay. Yes. And are you familiar with some of the changes that have come in teaching with the accountability?
Okay.
Was there a lot that you had to do in setting out your program for the year and what you'd be covering in the different classes and recording?
Well, I was only initially as a primary teacher, I was only in one class, and I think we were trained to think that way, and it made sense to me. I like planning. I plan now. I plan what I'm going to do in the daytime. So I'm ideally suited to anything like that.
But in accountability and supervision, were there people looking at what you've done?
No, there's no such thing as supervision.
And you did have school inspectors that came round periodically, didn't you?
Not very often, though. They came round maybe twice a year.
Yeah. And what was your attitude to them? Were they very helpful, or you just ignored
really
them while
they
were just sat in the classroom?
Yeah, I suppose so. I didn't really know much about them. We didn't have the kinds of information that would be given.
There's no sense of fear that an inspector is coming.
Oh, yes, it was. It was worrying.
But it was because I recall as a child being told by our teacher the inspector's coming today, and we've all got to be on our best behaviour.
Yeah, we had to wear our best clothes and everything. Yeah.
Yes. Now I don't think I taught for long enough in the primary sector to run into those things, and when I left Napier and went down to Wellington to finish my degree, I did the odd relieving here and there, and I quite enjoyed that because I got all sorts of different classes.
Mm.
But I don't think there was much going on for teaching for me until I went secondary teaching, and that was in Dunedin. And I went to St Dominic's College. I rang them up and said, "Do you need a teacher? I can teach these subjects." And they said, "Come in and meet us." So I went in. Mm. What I didn't know was that I was teaching to a little group of PhDs. This was the academic order of the church. And they were so bright. And before I knew where I was, I had a job. And I was pregnant, and Mike was down there trying to finish his law degree because he had had fun at university. He took his time, so he had to still finish his degree. And I was the money earner, and I loved every minute of secondary teaching.
Mm. What subjects were you
teaching? History was my main subject, but I also did English.
And just going back a few years, did you say you did your primary schooling in Dannyburg, was
Napier.
It?
Napier. No, my mother was from Dannyburg.
Oh, I see. Yes. Oh, yes. Right. Oh, your mother came from Dannyburg.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dannyburg is our sort of semi-place we come from.
Yes.
Or more Norsewood.
Yeah.
And we've been...
Have you got a Norse maiden name?
Tourison.
Oh,
my grandmother was a Peterson, my grandfather was Tourison.
Right.
Yes.
Were they among the original settlers there?
Yes. Granddad was born in Oslo.
Yeah.
And Grandma was born out here. She was the tail end of her family. And
you know when your grandfather came out?
Or? Yes. They came out on the Hofting in 1872. We've been brought up to know our history very much. I'd be surprised to run into a Scandinavian from over there who doesn't.
Was that book written about?
The first book by Anderson, yes, but books have been written since. I've really liked.
So it's Norwegian, is it?
Norwegian.
Oh, yes.
Not the Danes. The Danes like money, you know.
Yeah.
That's what they used to say.
Right.
I don't know about the other group, where they visited.
I always get muddled up with those Norse countries because they're all so close together, and
they
it's
are.
Hard for us Kiwis
they
to
are.
Remember which country is which.
Yes. I've been to Norway, and I was just so interested because I saw all these people who were behaving just like my family did.
Yeah.
And I went into the church where my grandfather was baptised, and a woman minister came out and introduced herself and asked who I was. And I explained, and she said, "Wait a minute." And she went away, and she came out with a big bowl, and she said, "Now hold this." And she said, "That's the very bowl that was used to baptise your grandfather."
Wow.
And I just
thought... Isn't that nice, though? Really, yeah.
Yes, yeah. They were lovely people.
Yeah, yeah. So you would have...
The history you were teaching was out of a set curriculum. Did you have an opportunity to introduce any of your own personal history?
You could do, because you would choose a subject that was of interest to you, and the subjects were there in front of you. When I try and look back, it was European history.
From an English perspective?
Or British
perspective?
Yes.
Were you using English textbooks?
Was I seeing them?
Were you using English textbooks in the school?
Yes, it depended on the school and the money they had to buy textbooks, to be honest. And this was a Catholic school, although I think the Dominicans are, they're scholars. They, one of them had three PhDs.
I mean, you're joking.
I was very meek beside them. So they were bright.
And, yeah, they would be.
And they looked after me really well. And I just loved being there.
So working in the schools, what was the sort of management structure like? Was a lot of power concentrated in the school principal, or were they fairly democratic?
The Dominicans were democratic, and they were strong women.
It was all women?
All women, yes.
All women. All the staff were women?
Yes.
And the pupils were all girls? Or
yes,
girls?
All girls. Yes.
So there were no men in the
school? No. Goodness me, no.
Well, the gardeners only came in when outside class hours.
I think they did their own gardening.
And all the blinds were drawn.
They were the strongest women I think I've ever met as a bunch. They just knew who they were and where they were going and what they would do and what they wouldn't do.
Were they all New Zealanders? Or
Yes. And, I mean, when one of them has three PhDs, you do fall off your chair a bit. No, I was really impressed by them and loved teaching there. And when our son was born, he was about 6 months old, and I got a phone call. Could I possibly teach? And I sort of took a bit of a breath, and they said, you can bring Anthony with you.
He was allowed on the school grounds.
He came in school. Well, of course, I jumped at the opportunity, and when I got to the school, he could just disappear. They had a baby. They were all playing with
him. That's great,
And my highlight was, there's a very well-known New Zealand cricketer, and I wish I could think of his name, because his sister took phys ed at the school, and one day, I can remember, our son was 2 years old at the time, and he was playing with Owen. Duffy, she was a Duffy, but her brothers had another name. And you'd know them, they were New Zealand cricketers.
Can't help me there.
And I can remember the bishop... a nun running into the room saying, Mrs. Behrens, come quickly. The bishop's just come in. He's brought in Owen and Anthony. He's found them building a dam across Rattray Street. So I had to quickly rush out. But we just thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
We thought, well, it was keeping the bishop occupied.
Now, but this was Dunedin still.
Dunedin,
and
yes.
Soon thereafter you made the move to...
Mike didn't come off the first ship, nor did he come from a long line of lawyers. To get a job was actually pretty difficult, and he managed to get one in Palmerston North. And
so you're indicating there was something about the structure of the law profession in New Zealand then. Was
you it had to very, find your own job.
yes, but you're saying also that if you were from a family of lawyers, that helped a lot, or you were one of the early settlers, that gave you influence?
I don't know about early settlers, but certainly if you were a family of lawyers. He was a nobody in the legal system. Nowadays, I don't think it's quite like that, but it was still very traditional then. But he loved it.
Was that for conveyancing or court working?
He did both, but... Eventually, he became a court lawyer and a judge.
Yes.
So, he loved it. That was his life. Very articulate people, lawyers. Yeah.
So, how long were you based in? You were based in Paris North and then moved away again, did you? When he was a judge,
We were here.
Okay. And that was from about when?
1968-ish.
Oh, that's a long time.
It's a long time for living in the place you never wanted to live in.
That's a whole new story then. I think we need another program on that.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.